Makeshift Stories presents Somewhere, Sometime, an irregular series of short sci-fi and fantasy stories.
In a well-known ethics thought experiment, there is a runaway trolley. Down the tracks a bit, there are five people tied up, unable to move. You are standing beside a lever. If you pull the lever, the trolley will divert to a sidetrack. A simple choice, until you notice that there is a person on the sidetrack. In this month's story, Adrian, the last illusion, travels back in time to a backwater of the universe to hide from the agents of the people who have taken over his world, only to discover that things are not as they should be on planet Earth. He meets Nikola Tesla, who appears to be in the process of changing the course of history, and Adrian finds that he must make a difficult choice. We now invite you to sit back and relax as you listen to Makeshift Stories 80, The Last Illusion. Somewhere in some time you might find that what lies beneath the surface is something entirely different than you expected. Adrian stepped through the nothingness out into a brilliant summer day. A zeppelin drifted lazily across a cloudless sky, invisible electromagnetic waves bouncing off its gleaming metallic surface, making his thoughts tingle with their energy. The unexpected sensation distracted him for a moment, almost forcing him back into the void. But instead, he stood his ground until the disorientation passed and he stabilized in his host's subconsciousness. Next, he turned his attention to his environment, analytically surveying the new world that wrapped around him like a glove. Blue sky. Warm yellow sun. Deep green that poked out between the gray and brown blocks of tightly packed buildings.
Out of the way, idiot!
The words, in an alien language, pierced through the fuzziness that always accompanied an integration into a new mind. Adrian's host instinctively jumped back when a six-wheeled vehicle streamed by, its electric motors whining as it accelerated away, fist angrily gesturing out an open window. Adrian looked down at his host's body. It was middle-aged, he guessed, by the swells in the wrong places. It was not what he had intended, nor was his place exactly what he had expected. But transmutation was not a precise art, even for an experienced traveler like himself. The best you could do was arrive somewhere and some time in the general direction you had set out. Some claimed that the universe had the perverse tendency to toy with travelers. The theory was that your passage left patterns in the quantum substrate of reality, which, if the universe noticed, it playfully altered, so occasionally one might find themselves anywhere, or worse, nowhere at all. So Adrian wondered if it was only a matter of time before his pursuers recognized his traces and tracked him down. He looked around, trying to orient himself. Everything about this place was wrong, but somehow correct. Was this one of those times, Adrian wondered, that the universe had played a joke on him? He reached out with his mind, but could not find his foe. Yet, there was something hidden here, an indistinct sense of a presence that shouldn't be on this world. A noise made Adrian's host glance upward in time to catch the zeppelin move out of sight, while another appeared drifting over the city in the opposite direction. Zeppelins. Electromagnetic energy bouncing around the atmosphere, the electric vehicle. Adrian instinctively knew they were wrong. On his last visit, albeit 100 years into the planet's future, he had read the history of this period, and that's why he had chosen to come to this place in time. It was obscure, of no consequence, and no real interest. A backwater, which made it the perfect place to hide and recharge.
Mr. Peck!
A voice behind brought Adrian's thoughts back to the present.
Charles, what were you doing? You almost stepped in front of that auto car. Are you okay? You look a bit disoriented.
Still adjusting to the new situation, Adrian let his host's conscious mind reply.
I'm fine, Estelle. I was just lost in my thoughts.
You appear to be ill, sir. Do you want me to hail an auto cab instead of walking to the lab?
His host was about to agree before Adrian intervened.
No, Estelle. I need time to clear my mind. The walk will do me good.
Charles, Adrian's host, turned to walk, but Estelle gently redirected him in another direction.
Are you sure you don't want that cab? Maybe we should just cancel the meeting, sir.
No, I'm okay. The Charles host insisted, but let Estelle lead the way.
The streets of the city were more crowded, the towering buildings more numerous and higher than the historical texts had led Adrian to believe. A tall gray building with a needle-like top that Charles recognized as a classic Art Deco skyscraper caught Adrian's attention, reminding him of the once great cities on his ruined homeworld of Lucia. The Shadows, that's what he had come to call them, had transmigrated in one mass wave to Lucia, displacing almost everyone in a desperate attempt to save themselves from the fate of their own doomed planet. The original Lucians, Adrian's people, in turn had been forced to take the Shadows' place on their ill-fated world. And the new Foalusians had dauntlessly pursued Adrian and the other few survivors like him in an attempt to erase all memory of their crime. Through hundreds of hosts, their agents had tracked Adrian like obsessed bloodhounds that never gave up.
No one's following you. They don't know you're here. It's just your anxiety playing tricks with your senses again. Or an alien emotion from your new host's mind. That often happens.
Adrian tried to assure himself, then forced his consciousness into the eyes and ears of his host. Charles' assistant, Estelle, was talking.
Nicola sent me an autotelegraph note about an hour ago requesting the meeting. He said it was urgent.
The man probably just wants more money, the Charles host growled. That's the only time he's ever in a rush to see me. When I want to go over the books, he's always too busy. He may be a genius, Estelle, but Nicola knows nothing about running a company. He has no business sense whatsoever. You know that he sold the patent for his wireless power transmitter to fund his more esoteric experiments. And look, it's everywhere in the city now.
The Charles host angrily pointed to another Zeppelin repeater station floating overhead with an Edison power logo adorning its side.
If he had come to me first, that would have read Peck and Tesla Electric.
I know, Mr. Peck,
Estelle wearily sighed.
You point that out almost every time we go outside.
The man never thinks about sustainability, Estelle. Only the next idea he has. But he hasn't delivered anything practical since the induction motor, and the royalties from that barely cover his costs. If this keeps going on, I'll have to sell my stake in the company while it still has some value. He needs to deliver a saleable idea, and soon.
Estelle shrugged.
Tell him that, sir, not me.
By the time they arrived at the Houston Street Laboratory, the Charles host was sweating under his heavy three-piece suit and overcoat. The dilapidated building, an anonymous brick structure on a busy street with a central boulevard, disgusted Charles as Estelle pushed through the heavy wood doors, then led them down into the basement. At the end of a dimly lit hall, they encountered a recently installed metal door with a small sign that read, Tesla and Peck Electric. By appointment only. Estelle had to knock several times before they heard footsteps approach from the other side, and then the door abruptly pushed open, almost hitting the Charles host. An older, bookish man in a lab coat peered out.
He's expecting you.
There was no please come in, or other social nicety, just a hurried, irritated gesture to go through to the far corner of the large windowless space. As they made their way through a maze of generator parts, large, innocuous metal coils, wires, motors, magnets, and gears, Adrian felt his host's skin crawl with the heavily charged environment of the lab. So much energy surged through this space that even Adrian felt uncomfortable, which put him on guard. Leaning back in a well-worn office chair, writing notes in a binder under one of the crackling wireless lights, an intense-looking man with a dark mustache and neatly cut hair, parted down the middle, sat, ignoring them as they approached.
Charles, you're late,
the man rudely pronounced, without looking up. He didn't even bother to offer a place for his guests to sit. Instead, he kept jotting notes for another moment, then suddenly looked up and stared. Like an autonomous drone locked onto a target, the inventor's unusually intense gaze pierced into the Charles host's eyes and raced up the bean's optic nerves. In an attempt not to be noticed, Adrian shrunk back as far as he could into Charles' subconscious without stepping back into the nothingness of the subreal. The inventor's gaze passed through Charles' consciousness, failing to notice the additional presence. The intelligence behind that gaze wasn't entirely unfamiliar to Adrian, but he couldn't remember where he had experienced it before.
Nicola, the Charles host fumed. I'm here at your request. You're lucky I came at all. Most days I use this time to look after my profitable investments, so this last-minute appointment of yours is bound to cost me more than I care to think about.
The words seemed to make the man suddenly more congenial. He got up and apologized.
I had an idea that I needed to get on paper before it evaporated into the ether. I hope you understand. I mean, I don't have control over when my inspirations occur.
And your inspiration this time was that you need more money?
The Charles host sarcastically suggested.
Why am I not surprised, Mr. Tesla? I hope that your inspiration is for something more useful than a theoretical thesis on thought cameras. And what return have I seen on that idea recently, except the occasional snicker whenever it's mentioned? On the other hand, when people look up into the sky, they see an Edison logo, and they forget that Nikola Tesla invented wireless power, not Edison. But that's the power of money, Mr. Tesla. Edison has it. You don't. They buy and market ideas, while you struggle to invent them. And without anything new in the past couple of years, well, let's just say that the investors are getting cold feet, Nikola. They think you're out of ideas.
Adrian listened to his host's dressing down of the inventor while he tried to recall the history he had once read. All the pieces here appeared correct. But it was as if someone had reshuffled the deck. And that interested him.
I can assure you, Charles, that my best ideas are yet to come. And with the drums of war sounding on the continent, I have something that no country would want to be without. I even have a prototype that uses teleforce.
Adrian could feel his host's initial excitement wane.
You've been playing with that concept for years and gotten nowhere.
Disappointed, Charles groaned and turned to go. Nikola moved to cut him off. His eyes pierced into the Charles host again. This time they seemed to catch a hint of Adrian's presence, making him more determined.
Mr. Peck, please, give this a chance. Come out to Wardenclyff tomorrow. I'll demo the prototype. I promise you won't be disappointed. Think military contracts.
I won't.
Charles began to decline before Adrian surged forward and intervened. There was something going on beneath the surface here, and Adrian felt drawn to it like a moth to a flame. He needed to understand what it was.
I won't. Charles stumbled on the words again. I won't be able to stay long. I don't really understand why I'm giving you this last chance, Nikola. After lunch, then, around 2 p.m., I have to be back in the city by 5, so you only have an hour to persuade me that you've got something worth my time.
Thank you. An hour should be more than enough. Please bring a hat.
Tesla gave Charles a cat-like smile.
Are you claiming that you can forecast the weather now, too? Well, at least that would be worth something.
The Charles host scoffed. Nikola tried to meet Charles' eyes again, searching.
Maybe. Maybe someday I'll be able to do that, Mr. Peck. Or at least make my own weather. After all, I already create lightning. How hard could the rest be?
Tesla fumbled with something in his pocket, and a bolt of lightning shot across the ceiling.
Just a parlor trick,
Charles muttered to his assistant.
I hope he has something better in Wardenclyff. Let's go.
After the meeting, Nicola's gaze haunted Adrian, so he spent the rest of the day searching the chaos of the subreal for a particular pattern that would confirm his suspicions. But as the Charles host finally finished his work and prepared for sleep, Adrian had found nothing conclusive. That night, Adrian and his host, Charles, dreamed of twisting streams of energy, turbid with disturbances from some unseen presence. By noon the next day, the skies were dark and threatening to rain, as a hired car the Charles host had arranged to take him from the train station to the lab made its way along a rutted country road. The auto car rounded the curve, revealing a skeletal metal structure which rose above the trees, looking a bit like the Eiffel Tower, except it was crowned with an upside-down bowl. Another turn, then Adrian and his host could see that the tower was behind a single-story brick building with a row of arched windows cut into its facade. The driver brought the auto car to a stop in front of a modest entrance in the exact center of the front of the building, got out and opened the back door for Charles. As they left the vehicle, Adrian made Charles look up at the 18-story structure. Even his host didn't know what function the metal monstrosity served.
"I'll be back to pick you up at 3 p.m., sir," the driver said, glancing nervously up, then drove off in a rush, spraying gravel everywhere.
The Charles host watched the receding dust clouds kicked up as a hired car sped away until a noise behind him made him swing around.
"Charles, did you bring that hat?"
The inventor was standing a little too close to Charles, forcing the man to step back.
"Nikola, you startled me. I didn't hear you come out."
Tesla stood for a moment, silent, calculating, making both the Charles host and Adrian feel uncomfortable.
"Follow me," he finally said, then turned and entered the brick building.
Light spilled through the large arched windows, making the interior surprisingly bright, a marked contrast to the Houston Street Laboratory. Huge copper coils attached to a spidery web of wires lined a wall that ran through the center of the space. Partly disassembled generators lay scattered about, attended to by busy assistants.
"We're trying to increase the efficiency of these,"
Nikola casually mentioned as they walked past.
"I want the plans if it works,"
the Charles host excitedly demanded.
"It's not worth your time, Charles. You'll understand once you've seen the demonstration."
Nikola led them through the building and out the back service door to a clearing dominated by the iron tower. Scaffolding clung to its sides, indicating that the great structure was still under construction. The Charles host stopped to examine it.
"So, this is where all my money's been going."
"Some," Nikola laughed. "But that is what's going to put Edison out of business, Charles. It's like an iceberg. You see, you're only seeing the tip. It extends far below the surface. Once it's completed, I'll take energy from the skies and force it into the crust of the earth, so anyone on the globe will be able to push down a stake into the soil and get electricity for free. Those wireless patents, they'll be worthless. Why do you think I sold them to Edison in the first place?" he chuckled.
"I don't believe it. This has got to be one of your stupidest ideas, Nikola. If it ever worked, and I doubt that it will, there'd be no way to make money,"
the Charles host growled. Nikola calmed Charles down by telling him that they would be able to patent the rods needed to collect the free power, then quickly moved them on to an open field with a post at one end and an apparatus on a tripod at the other. Two assistants fussed about the device, which looked like a metal bowl with a tube extending from its center mounted to the end of a carbine.
"Your hat, please, Mr. Peck."
The sun finally poked out from behind the clouds, so Charles was reluctant to give up his hat. Nikola imprudently reached out and tore the hat from Charles's head.
"If you please, sir,"
Tesla demanded,
then passed the wide-brimmed hat to one of the attendants, who ran to the other end of the field, placed it on a post, then rushed to the edge of the clearing, well away from the target. Before the angry financier could respond, Tesla nodded to the remaining assistant.
"Watch," he demanded.
The assistant flicked a large switch, then jumped back. The device in the tripod immediately began to hum with power. A faint blue glow enveloped it, and the static charge the machine threw out made the hair on everyone's head stand up. Suddenly, the hat and the post at the far end of the field disappeared in a puff of smoke, and the leaves on an unfortunate tree 100 yards behind withered and burst into flame.
"Can it use wireless power?"
Now very interested, the Charles host excitedly asked.
"Yes, but the real secret is how I keep the energy beam from dispersing. A large enough version could hit a target 100 miles away. And if I had enough power and money, well, I could split the earth itself in half."
The Charles host gave Tesla a questioning look, and for a brief instant Adrian could see into the inventor's mind, as Tesla imagined the consequences of wielding so much power. Adrian recoiled in horror. Behind the busy consciousness, he caught a fleeting glimpse, a familiar shadow. But the moment it noticed Adrian's probing thoughts, Nikola's mind slammed closed, leaving Adrian wondering if he'd seen anything at all.
"I have contacts in the Defense Department," the Charles host enthusiastically noted. "Can you arrange a demonstration off-site?"
Nikola nodded. "That can be done."
"Good, I'll set it up,"
Charles smiled, already calculating.
"I've got one more thing to show you."
Tesla began to walk toward the metal tower, leaving his assistants to shut the demo down. The Charles host, now lost in estimating the profits he would make from a lucrative government contract, blindly followed the inventor. At the very center of the tower's base, Adrian noticed a set of stairs descending into the earth. Fear suddenly raced through him, and instinctively he knew that he should not go down there. Adrian tried to reach up into his host's conscious mind to get Charles to make an excuse and leave, but found that the interference from the tower was so strong that the best he could do was get the man to hesitate.
"Nikola, I'm not fond of enclosed spaces," the host claimed, stopping at the top of the stairs, but the inventor coaxed them down.
"This invention has much greater potential than the energy beam. It will make you the wealthiest man in the world, I guarantee it."
The Charles host couldn't resist, and Adrian, nearing panic, had no choice but to ride along. Adrian quelled his misgivings. He told himself that the answer to the mystery here was below, and he could always leave, stepping back into the quantum streams of nothingness in an instant. The dimly lit stairs descended several stories before they dropped into a large concrete bunker. In the center of the space sat a scale model of a city. Adrian's host recognized it as the capital and approved of the choice. Tesla walked calmly over to a bank of controls and rotated the knob, then addressed Charles.
"Pick up that hammer, Mr. Peck, and throw it at the model,"
Tesla suggested. Charles did as he was told and heaved the heavy tool. But just before it hit the fragile model, some unseen force diverted the tumbling hammer, and it fell harmlessly onto the floor.
"It's a shield that can protect whole cities from bombs and more," Nikola proclaimed, then turned the knob again.
Adrian felt a tingle of power pass through him. Then the concrete walls around the room began to glow with a faint blue crackling light.
"We're inside the field now. I'd imagine that you feel diminished,"
Tesla grinned as he casually walked over and leaned on the table holding the model, then brought up his laser gaze to meet Charles' eyes.
"I know you're in there. You should be able to address me directly now. The field at the base of the tower was only intended to interrupt your control over your host. But down here, this one, it's special."
"Nikola, you're as crazy as everyone says. What are you talking about?"
Adrian let the startled Charles host reply while he tried to retreat back into the nothingness, but found no gateway between reality and the substrata beneath it. Panic seized him. He was trapped. Adrian desperately pushed into Charles' consciousness and spoke.
"How did you know I would come to this world?"
"I just had to be patient. Your kind does not give up. And now that you're here, you'll be the first I send back to your hellish home. That's why I built this place and invented the tech. When I arrived, there was nothing here that could help me achieve my goal. So I sold a few ideas to finance my work. But the backwardness of this world gave me the time I needed. Who would bother looking here? In the grand scheme of the universe, the place is mostly harmless. But you finally caught up with me. And the timing, well, is perfect."
"You've already changed the course of the future for this world. And just like your ancestors, you don't seem to care as long as you get what you need."
Adrian angrily snapped back.
"It's a small price to pay to complete my mission. And I may have even improved the future of this backwater. They'll have all the cheap power they could ever need without burning through billions of tons of hydrocarbons."
"I would have thought that your people, you shadows, would have been satisfied ruining the future of one world. Why this one too?"
The comet, seemed to make Nicola hesitate for a second, allowing the Charles host to quickly dash toward the control panel. But the Tesla host, younger and more agile, easily cut him off. "I can't simply let you erase what happened on Alusha." Defiant, Adrian forced Charles to try and sidestep the inventor.
"You mean what your kind did to my home?"
Nicola angrily corrected.
"My people were banished to a dying world, and I'm going to correct that. That's what all this is for. That's why I've worked for decades in this primitive place. I'm going to correct things. I'm going to change the history of Alusha back to the way it should have been, and bring my people home. They sent you to stop me, and I can't allow that."
With the fire of another being in his eyes, Tesla surged forward. Charles backed away, while Adrian spoke through him.
"Look, there's something wrong. This doesn't make sense. I'm the last one, the last real illusion. Who are you?"
The Nicola presence reached out with his mind, and this time Adrian didn't block him. Tesla stopped, then suddenly seemed drained of energy and collapsed into a chair.
"We're the same, you and I. We're the last two. I'm sorry I didn't recognize you, but you were making it difficult for me to perceive you. Unfortunately, with two of us here now, it'll be easier for them to find us, so we'll need to act fast. But it's not really a problem. I'm ready. You can help me change history. Alusha will be the way it was meant to be."
"But the disruptions that would cause, what will it do to this world?"
"I don't know. There's a chance it might work out better for them. But does that really matter if our future is restored?"
The Tesla host countered, as its presence pushed a tempting image of their restored home into Adrian's mind.
"Yes, it does," Adrian insisted, then made his Charles host leap for the controls.
Thanks for listening to Makeshift Stories 80, The Last Illusion. We hope that you have enjoyed this month's episode. As always, if you like what we're doing, please tell your friends about us, or write a review on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, or check us out in Google+ and Facebook. We love hearing your comments, so send us an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. Makeshift Stories releases a new episode every month between the 15th and the 20th. To listen to Makeshift Stories on your iOS or Android device, please download Stitcher Radio from iTunes or the Google Play Store. This month's episode was written and read by Ellen V. Hare. The opening and closing theme is Podsafe Music by David Hume. Makeshift Stories is released under Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution, No Derivative License, which means that you are free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.